Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Give me Acts 1, verse 1 through 8, and we're going to read this together. The former account I made, O Theophilus, wait, just wait for a minute. Remember, what's Theophilus mean? Remember, they don't have any record of Theophilus. There's no record of him. So this book is written to you. Look at your spouse and say, hey, Theophilus. Say it. Say, what's going on, Theophilus? You know what Theophilus means? It means lover of God. That's what it means. Acts is written to you and to me. That's really what it is. It's not a historical book. It's an ongoing book. It's the Holy Spirit working and building the church through God's people. Now let's watch. O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after through the Holy Spirit he had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they heard come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, this was written to the church. We're the church. He's still speaking this to us today. And the Holy Spirit is still flowing through his church to build his church with God's word. Are you paying attention? That's really what's going on. And this is what we got to understand. When we understand it, we'll have power in our life. And we need power to be his witness. He says, you will receive power. Then he says, not many days from then. That was after his ascension, after he went to go to heaven. Now you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And when you get saved, that's what happens. You receive the Holy Spirit. And now you have to be full of the Holy Spirit. You have to put it in. Remember in Ephesians 5, 18, he says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dispensation. Dispensation means to squander, to scatter, confusion. You see, that's what alcohol does in your mind. It will confuse you about the things of God. That's why I don't think it has any place in a believer's life. You see that? We have CR here, and people have problems with that. And you know what, people? You know what gets me is people want to have that. They always have to have that. They can't even go out and have a good time without having a drink. You see, when I remember when I was in high school, I haven't drank since I got saved 45 years ago. I haven't touched it. I won't touch it because it changes the way you think. You see, and you can't be a good witness under that influence. You see that? It changes the way you think. I remember I'd have to have me a drink before I'd go out with a girl because it gave me courage. Huh? That I didn't have. That's not healthy. I treated them respectful and with honor when I was sober. When you get a few drinks in you, you start acting a little different. Disrespect. And you know what? That still happens. Don't tell me, huh? I know how it works. I've seen it. I've seen it over and over. I've seen it over and over. Alcoholism was in my... I have two cousins that died because they never dealt with alcoholism in their life. They literally died at age 52 and 41. One was a millionaire with all these, 10 antique cars, died in the shower drunk. Am I making sense? And I've seen alcohol. I used to visit a young man who killed a boy on Swales Road in Troy. I visited him in jail. Every year, that family of the kid that was killed sent him a birthday card, inviting him to come to the birthday party at the cemetery. That young man, you know what he told me? That was his second time getting drunk. Ends up killing somebody. Well, you know, it's okay. It's not okay. You see, when it wears off, what happens? You got to go back and face reality. But you see, he's using that as a parallel with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it changes you. You see that? But when you stop being filled with the Holy Spirit, what happens? You go right back to your flesh, murmuring and complaining, fault finding, looking for something wrong with somebody. Come on now. Am I making sense? That's how it is. So I know I'm going to get some more mail, but it's okay. Just bring it on. Because I'm telling you, well, Jesus drank wine. Well, give me a break. They didn't have 9,000-pound dinosaurs running down the freeway at 80 miles an hour either. They didn't have a lot of things going on. Let me tell you something. I believe that stuff was unfermented. That's what I've heard from theologians, and so I believe it. So I'm just here to tell you, it has no place in our life. And you know what? If you're here and you do that, that's okay. I will never tell you to stop drinking. The Holy Spirit will. Amen. I'm not here to tell you to do that. Amen. It's up to God to do that. Because that's religious, me up here trying to tell you what to do and what not to do. That's religion. I don't want you telling me what to do and what not to do. And I really don't. So that's really how it is. So think about this. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we can be. That's what he's saying there in Ephesians. But be filled with the Spirit. You see, you can only be filled with the Spirit when you're not putting alcohol in there. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks to God our Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when you're doing that, when you're thankful and grateful and you're giving God praise, you don't want to drown him out with a bunch of negative mess. Are you listening to me? People get depressed because they're pouring that stuff in and not doing what God asked you to do. singing and praising and making melody, and your heart's giving thanks to God. All right, I'm off of that, so we're okay.
Hallelujah.
I know. All right, let's keep moving. So, back to our notes. Here it is. This is huge. Two things that are clear in the book of Acts. It's about Jesus building his church, number one, and it's about the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the helper. He gives you the power, and you have to keep pouring it in and feeding that power. Just like you have to do alcohol. You got to keep pouring it in if you're going to stay drunk. You see that?
Yeah.
Or you got to have the edge off. You got to have a couple every day or whatever. You see that? You're not taking the edge off. You're making problems worse. All right. Acts is written to us. It is written to us about us today. Now, Acts is not only how the historical church started. Acts is about how the church starts and grows and functions today. Acts is about how the church, you and I, are living as the church. The only way we can live as the church and be a witness is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that takes you and I continuously being dependent on God. I have to start my day out with the Holy Spirit. I talk to God. We have to pray. We're going to be talking about that. Prayer, pray without ceasing. We're supposed to be praying for each other, for your spouse, for your children, for yourself. You're supposed to be talking to God. You're supposed to have the vertical in line, relationship with God, and the horizontal with people. When you have your relationships horizontally right with God and your vertical right with God, now you're in a place to be a witness. You can't be a witness if the horizontal relationships aren't right with God. You cannot be a witness. You may think you are, but you're not. You're not. You may say, you may tell them till you're blue in the face, but it's not going to have the power on it. Am I making sense? Because God has designed us to speak life, and we can only speak life in the Holy Spirit. It says that the Holy Spirit is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14, 17. In the Holy Spirit. That's why you need to use your words with your spouse. That's why it says in Romans 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth, only that which edifies and gives grace to the hearer.
Yes.
You're only to speak words that edify each other. There's a study about words. Words carry energy. They carry energy. And negative words carry negative energy. When you speak negative over your spouse and they go in their day, they're carrying negative energy. They bring it back and they'll start speaking it back on you. They'll speak it back on, listen, or you'll speak it on your own self. You better listen to what I'm saying. What's coming out of here is a manifestation of if the Holy Spirit's in it, it won't be negative and critical. Because if you're criticizing and fault finding, are you listening to me? And blaming, the Holy Spirit's not in it. We got to take responsibility for what's coming out of our mouth. Are you catching this?
Yeah.
It says in Isaiah 58, he says, the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. God has your back. People say, well, there's no armor for your backside. Yes, there is. says the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then it goes on to say, your healing shall spring forth speedily. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. If you put away the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness. The pointing of the finger and speaking of wickedness is judgmental, critical speech. When you judge and criticize people, you're not going to be healed, and you're not getting the plan and purpose of God showing to you. You can't receive it. You're stopping it because of your criticizing and judging people. In Romans chapter 2, it says, you're judging somebody and you're doing the very thing you're judging them about. You see, listen, you're stopping the good from coming into your life. This is why this is a spiritual principle. Speak life. You don't know she won't do this. You know what? If Donita doesn't do something, I don't like it. I just keep saying, there she is. Ask her. She says, there he is. We keep speaking life. You want to know what happens next? It gets done. We don't sit around and tear each other down. We build each other up. You see that? When you build each other up, now you're really calling them into the plan and purpose of God in their life. But if you're speaking negative and criticizing, you're bringing them down. You're holding them down. You're holding them from God's place and God's calling in their life. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Come on, am I making sense?
Yes.
That's why we want to be filled with the Spirit. We want to be a witness for Jesus. Can you see Jesus? Do you see him ever tearing people down?
No.
Huh? Criticizing them?
No.
Well, the woman caught in adultery, and all of them were ready to stone her. He loved her. He said, go and sin no more. Because her sins were forgiven. People don't go to hell because of sin. People go to hell because they reject Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yes.
And he wants you to be a witness.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what. If there's ever a time people that are lost, they need a witness. They need a witness. Somebody witness to you to get you saved. Somebody witness to me. People need a witness. Somebody who's really walking this thing. Are you paying attention? Because the courtroom of heaven is in session. That's what it is. It's in session all the time. And so you have to be aware, and you're going to be tested all the time. Now watch. He says you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That power is to be his witness. You see that? So you can be a witness to your wife and to your husband. Think, that's where it starts. That's what Jerusalem is. Jerusalem's your home. Judea's your neighbors. Remember, I told you I got neighbors. Judea's your neighbors. Samaritans, your enemies. Jews hated Samaritans. Jews weren't Gentiles or Jews. Samaritans weren't Gentiles or Jews. They were Samaritans. We have enemies. God wants you to be a witness to your enemy. But that takes development in Jerusalem, at home. When it's in home, now it's going to have power. It's going to have power when it goes to work. Well, you don't understand my boss. They're always on my back. They're always trying to be a witness. How can I help you? What else can I do for you? Do something extra for your boss. Show them something extra. Amen. Submit to them. Remember, submission. Submission is never when you want to. It's only when you don't want to.
Right.
You submit. Submit to your husband. Well, I don't feel like it. It's not what you feel like. It's when you submit to them, God's power is released through you. And it's affecting the whole atmosphere.
Amen.
It's creating a paradise. Am I making sense?
Yes.
This is how it works. I'm telling you the truth. You know what happens? People get upset and they get this internal conflict. Here's how it works. Internal conflict. You get mad at somebody at church. You get mad at the pastor. People have gotten mad at me before. You start dialoguing with this negativity. You know what you're doing? You're quenching the Holy Spirit. You're holding him down. He can't release to you what you need for your problems. He can't be your helper because you're stopping it with your negativity. You see, people get upset with people in church. If I was the devil, that's what I would do. I'd get them mad in church. Because you see, when you understand what I'm talking about, see, this is unity. This is unity. Horizontal, vertical. When you have clear relationships here and a clear relationship there, that's unity. Psalms 133, God commands the blessing where there's unity. He commands it. You can't stop the blessings on somebody that understands what I'm talking about. I'm here to tell you. It'll show up. It'll show up in your house. It'll show up in your marriage. You can't stop a marriage. You can't divide a marriage that's in unity.
Amen.
You can't. They won't get divorced. They will not get divorced.
Right.
Are you listening to me? If two people are praying together and speaking life over each other and this thing's right with God, they'll be together forever. You hear me? Come on now. I'm just telling you the truth. When we understand this, it changes life. But you can't understand this on your own. You got to keep growing so you can be a witness, because the church, the Holy Spirit, the river of life is flowing through his church to bring his people, to prepare his people, because Jesus is coming back. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus is coming back. And we're to be witnesses now until he comes. And we're to help everyone that is in our close proximity come to know Christ. We got to get an urgency in us that people need to know Jesus.
Amen.
People need to be saved. He says, when you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, your light will dawn in the darkness. Your darkness will be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually. He will satisfy your soul when the drought comes. You will be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose waters never fail. People are going to want to come and drink from your well.
Amen.
Why'd the blind man fall into the well? He couldn't see the well. Little girl told me that before I started preaching today. I like that. Did I say it right? Oh, didn't see that well. See, that changes it, right? So I didn't say it right. Why'd the blind man fall into the well? Because he couldn't see that well. I think that's good. Simple but good. We're going to see that well, aren't we? Stay out of that hole. All right. So now think about this. I felt like you needed to laugh. That's why. So now look. Let me get back to this. Unity. Unity. You and I, when you start your morning, you should go to God with expectancy. That God, you're meeting with God. You shouldn't even leave the house without talking to God. I'm not being religious. It only takes a minute. You should, and listen to me, I'm challenging you. If you're married and you have a wife and a husband, you grab her hand, you grab his hand at night, you start praying for each other. You pray. When you do that, I guarantee things are going to change. You pray, and do this every night. Donita and I do this every night. We're speaking life. That's why we can bump into each other and just fall out laughing sometimes. I am telling you the truth. Ask her. It's God. It's joy.
Amen.
And joy gives you strength.
Amen.
It gives you strength. But you put that husband's hand, get a hold of it, that wife's hand, and you talk to them. You speak over them while you're going to sleep, talking to God. Get God in the middle of it. Things are going to change. I'm just here to tell you. But you see, well, sometimes you get somebody, they don't want to pray. Well, now that's a problem. But you keep doing. Here's what you do. If they don't want to pray yet, maybe they're not saved, or maybe they're just not, well, they don't want to pray. You say, okay, it's okay. You wait for them to eat. Sometimes I wait for them to go to sleep, and then you get your little hand over there. and you start praying for them. You pray for them. You see that? And they don't even know it. Or, you know, even they might be awake, and you can just kind of, you know, slip it over there and just whisper and talk to them. I'm being honest with you. You do that, watch God work. Are you listening to me? I said, are you listening to me? You watch God work. And he starts showing you things, and you'll think, man, I got to get to church. I got to get this word up in me. He's trying to help you see things you've never seen before. But it takes us praying. He taught the disciples how to pray, right? The disciples didn't say, how do we teach us to cast out demons? No, teach us to pray. Now watch. Aren't you excited?
Yes.
Joshua, in Joshua chapter 5, had the walls of Jericho keeping him from the promised land. And he was the one that entered into the promised land with all his family and possessed everything God had for him. And he was struggling in chapter 5. But you know what he did? Listen to me. You know what Joshua did? It says he lifted up his eyes. He began to worship God. When you worship, listen to me. When you worship, God becomes greater and bigger than any of your little problems. Listen to me. Listen to me. You know what you do? If you're not worshiping, truly worshiping, you're looking at all your problems. And oh, you're starting to feel, oh, wore down and, oh, I can't do this. Because you know what? You're trying to do it in your own strength. You're not being a witness. You're God, you see, he's trying to show you how big he is. And he's so much bigger than any problem you've ever had. And when you start to see how big he is, you shake it off. Are you listening to me? Things start to happen. Next thing he did, he bowed down. He fell on his face. Now he was asking God about what God could do for him. Now he's got his face down. What can I do for you, God? Huh? That's what it is. The things that are between you and your promised land is something you've got there. And God will show it to you. And you know what? That thing will come down when you start praying and talking to God.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.